Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we are here this evening, and we got some wonderful guests that's going to be here. It's going to be entertaining us this evening. We got this Adrian Cunningham, the author of Reckless Intentions, and other books. He's going to be here this evening, and we also have Nika Michelle coming out of Atlanta as well. So we'll be sitting back and relaxing and enjoying the show. This is Word Sexy Radio, Wrong Books Radio. That the chat room is available as well. If you want to get on the chat room and if you want to call in for questions, the number is 917-889-8246. This is Word Sexy Radio. On this great Tuesday, right here, the 29th of July, and we're doing our thing like we always do. This is Grown Folks Radio. For those who don't know, this explicit radio, we talk shit, we say what the fuck we want, so this is what we do. If this is not what you want, then don't have your kids around. But this is Word Sexy Radio, we're doing it. And we got a do some admin notes first before we get into our interviews. First, I want to say that for those of you in the Kansas City area that's going to be here in the area on the 28th of August, I'm going to be doing a book signing at the Broadway Jazz Club. That's on 3601 Broadway Street, Kansas City, Missouri, 64111. Be there from 6 to 8. We're going to be doing that. Then afterwards, of course, there's going to be some drinks. They got happy hour going on. They got some drink specials and food specials. And then for those of you that two-step in Kansas City, we'll be going to Two-Step Thursday at the Epicurean right after that. But just want to get in and get a chance. If you haven't had a chance to get A Morris After Dark, you want to check out that erotic fiction novel that's out right now. And we'll be talking on that. So what we're going to do right now is I'm going to bring in my guest, and I'm going to see if she's ready to go. So, Adrienne, I hope I'm saying your name right. Miss Cunningham, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on your show.
And I'm glad to have you. And first of all, I want to let you know this is We're Sexy Radio, Grown Folks Radio, and we say what the fuck we want to. So you can be yourself. I don't send out questions. Whatever questions I give you, you're shooting from the hip. Is that okay?
That's fine.
So what's going on? You sound a little down today. Are you all right? This is not your first interview, is it?
I'm fine. I just had a long day at work.
Okay. Well, I ain't going to keep you long. The show is 2 hours, but, of course, you're not required to be here the whole time. But I want to give you some time to talk about your book, Restless Intentions. And I do have that book. And I thank you for the autographed copy. And your handwriting looks better than the writing in the book. I'm sure you get that all the time, right? Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into writing. And let us know what number novel this is and just go from there.
Okay, well, Reckless Intentions is novel number one. It's my first book I've ever had published by Black Destiny Publications. I love everybody. Hello, Raquel Ebony. I know you're out there. My love of writing, I've always wanted to be a writer from the time I was a kid on up until now. And I've always, you know, jotted little things down, but I really didn't take it seriously until, you know, a couple years back. And I started writing, you know, another book, and Reckless Intentions just flowed to me just from, you know, life experiences. I think when you read a book, it's like it opens your mind up and you kind of see yourself in that situation, whereas, you know, if you're watching it on TV, you can visualize it. But when you're reading or when you're writing, it's coming clearly from your mind, you know what I'm saying? So I love to write. I love to read. And life is just an experience. It's like a book.
Okay. So are you planning on writing more, I'm sure?
Yes, I have another book. It's coming pretty soon. I'm going to be promoting it. And, of course, my label, my promoters, shout out to Papaya and Mike Braxton because they promote for me. So it'll be coming pretty soon.
Okay. So how much of this is you and how much is it something that you just had to make to get it to flow?
Reckless Intentions, a lot of my own situations with some, you know, fiction put in there. But a lot of it was just, okay, since, you know, we real, we grown folks or whatever, I'm just going to say like this. I think every woman out there listening has dated a guy that just came off like he was one way when he was actually altogether different. And you had no idea because you were blinded by, you know, what you saw, what he allowed you to see.
Right.
And so Reckless Intentions is told from, you know, that guy's perspective. It's not from the chick who, you know, depending on who reads it and what you look for in it, might be like, oh, well, you know, a little bit more on her, but it's really about him because a lot of women, they'll get together and be like, I can't believe he did this, or why do they act like this, and, you know, why this and why that? So basically, the main character in my book, Young, he's pretty much expressing, you know, the male perspective.
Okay.
And,
so is North Carolina a place that you decided, or is it a stomping ground of yours?
It's really a place I decided because I'm from Lexington, Kentucky. That would have been too just, you know, okay for me. And or Talladega, Alabama. I got family there. I lived there for several years. And that anybody that knows my name, they would have been like, oh, okay, well, you know, she lived there. So I just wanted to pick somewhere altogether different.
Well, that's good. And, of course, I'm sure you did some research on locations and things that went on in that town so that you'll be able, if someone was to question you on it, of course, you'll be able to answer that or have the answer. Because, you know, a lot of times people, some readers, you know, are very very smart. You know, they're not dumb. A lot of them will, especially if you're reading it, even if it's not where they're from, they'll check to see if street names are right and stuff like that when they read books, because they want to, especially if you're pulling them in and making them feel like it's real. So they'll, you know, check things like that. So did you do research like that when you were writing?
When I just pick, like, the North Carolina area, I just base it on, I mean, I've been there before, and I just kind of looked at, you know, certain situations or areas of town where, you know, my story would kind of flow. Like, I didn't pinpoint any exact, you know, streets that they could actually look up and be like, oh, that's there. I just kind of tried to give the atmosphere that I felt like was in that state.
Hmm. Okay. All right. So a lot of this is you. So when you say you say it's you, are you the female perspective or are you the male perspective? Just writing it as it being you, but just putting it into a man, the experience.
Wow. That's a good question. actually, I would have to
we
say
talk shit on this
I
show.
Would fall
yeah,
more
we...
into the female character because I was the one that was, you know, kind of blindsided, had no idea, you know, all this other stuff was going on until,
right,
you know, after the fact. That's why I was able
but you
to
knew
kind
he,
of
but
write it.
But you knew the guy was a hustler and all that, right? So what did he fool you with? I mean, I read some of the book. I didn't get to finish it all yet, but just kind of
well,
without
see,
telling
certain,
the story
aspects,
because I don't want you to
again,
tell it all.
Like, certain aspects are me, but then certain ones aren't, okay? In my
right.
situation, some of them, yeah, have been hustlers, but where I was fooled was, I guess it was just, you know, you feel like you love that person. You're blinded by it.
Oh,
like,
no.
You may think it, but until it's, like, absolutely in front of your face, you're just going to be like, oh, well, you know, I don't know that to be true. Kind of foolish. Kind of
right.
You know what's probably out there, but you just don't want to, you know, accept it. So you just go along with the flow, act like everything when it's not.
Understood. Okay. So it wasn't the bling or any of the things he presented, the what do you call it, the material things. It was more of his betraying that he loved you and the feelings, that the emotional side of things.
Yeah, because, I mean, women are more, I guess they come off more emotional. Men are emotional, too,
right.
Which I've learned over time, but it's just the way
right.
they carry it.
Exactly.
It's totally different. Like, a man could be mad for forever and a day, but they may not ever let you see them cry. You may never know that they do cry because they give off this little facade like, oh, you know, I'm big, I'm bad, nothing bothers me. Yeah, okay, everybody cries. I don't care who you are, but whatever,
right.
That's your journey. But a woman, I mean, off the top, she's going to snap, nah, blah, 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 blah. And what's most men going to do to avoid the snap? Oh, I'm just not going to tell her. Oh, she's not going to find out. I'm smarter. You know, I can do anything. I can do this, do that. But, you know, eventually it's going to hit the fan. Maybe it won't be today or tomorrow, but it's going to come out. So
okay.
I do it. But it continuously gets done. So I don't know, but it got me through a process. I feel like I went through a lot of that went on in the book. Some of it was fictional, like I said, but a lot of it, I think every woman can relate to it in some form or fashion. And every man that I know that has read it is like, I can't believe you put that in there. Now women really don't think we did, so blah, 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 blah. But a lot of y'all are, though. Just to be honest, I mean, you think you're smart, but you're really not. I'm not saying y'all stupid, but for certain stuff, y'all kind of are stupid. Like, just let it go. Because side chicks are side chicks, but if you piss them off bad enough, they're going to come out with your business. They're going to tell it. They'll get drunk one day and be like, oh, and by the way, bitch, duh. You know what I'm saying? And then you stuck like, you know.
Hey, I understand. Definitely understand. And for those of you that's listening out there, if you want to call in, the number is 917-889-8206. We're talking to Adrian. How do you say that? Adrian Cunningham, who is the author of Reckless Intentions. And one call that's in the queue was one of them. It's one of a few. But it's 804, and that's a Virginia area code. I'm going to see if they have something to say. State your name.
Probably
and where you call.
Stacy.
Hello.
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 State your name and where you calling from.
This is Stacy Thomas from Virginia.
I said it.
What part of Virginia?
I'm in Richmond, Virginia. How are you?
I'm fine.
Hey,
I used to live in Richmond. I had some time in Richmond. When I was in the military, I was stationed in Petersburg at Fort Lee, and I had some time up in Richmond. I spent about nine years living there. So I do know about Broad Street and all that.
Yeah, and I do know about the Fort Lee area and all of that.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. You must got some negativity down there with some soldier or something down in that place or something.
Oh, no. I partied on the base a couple of times. I stayed away because you knew those guys were going to bring drama.
At the NCO club? Okay, got you.
Yeah,
well,
but they
were
good
NCO
eye
club
candy.
No more.
Yeah, good eye candy.
Oh, boy, see, here we go. But we used to have fun.
Yep.
I used to be an instructor there at Fort Lee. Anyway.
Okay.
Let's not talk about me. Let's get back on our... Do you have a question for our guest?
Actually, I just want to say I'm one of the authors with Adrian, and I'm just very proud of her, and I'm wishing her the best.
Thank
okay.
you, Stacy.
And what is your author name?
Oh, Stacy Thomas.
Okay. And you have written what?
I've written Sins of the Flesh Part 1 and Part 2.
Okay.
So, see, she is world sexy. That's
okay. Well,
right
you
there.
Know, well, we can have that too because we talk shit about that too on the show. We, you know, we definitely talk sexual books, but we're gonna have to get you on the show to do interviews unless you want to kind of do something now. Because I know Adrian's tired, but I'm gonna keep her for a little while, and we're also waiting on Nika Michelle, is supposed to be coming from Atlanta, who is the author of Forbidden
awesome.
Fruit series. So hopefully she'll be here. And we'll go from there. I usually have some co-hosts, and they usually call in later. But one of them said they wasn't going to be here. But I'm just glad to have you guys here on the show. And any of your friends, anybody that want to get on the chat room is available, as well as calling in. The number is 917-889-8206. This is Word Sexy Radio, Grown Folks Radio, where we talk all the shit we want to on this radio show. So all right. So Adrian started out a little slow. She was like, I'm tired. And then she started talking about how she got fucked up and wrote the book. So now, do you think it's going to be a part two to this? Did you leave room? Let me see. Did you leave room at the end to make it seem like no? You said, okay, Mrs. Brown, I replied, and I ain't going to say no more. But you said, fuck it.
Oh, well, see, that was in response to something that happened if you read a little bit further up.
Of course.
See,
I'm sure.
If you read a little bit further up, I'll go on and give that out. Okay. Young is in the process of being a better person, like, you know, most dogs do. I'ma do better this time. And, you know, he's been approached by a young lady in a class that he's in. And, you know, she's throwing it at him, and he's trying to be, you know, a good guy. No, I don't think this is going to work. I have a woman, blah, blah, blah. But in his head, he's thinking, ooh, I wonder what she looks like naked. I bet I could bend her over, blah, blah, blah.
Always bullshit like that, ain't it?
Always. It never ends. It just continues. But it sounds good. You know,
yeah.
So she's like, yeah, whatever, blowing it off. And then the teacher had asked him a question, so he blanked out a little bit and came back in and was like, okay, well, the response to fuck it was about the chick leaving her number in, like, a notebook he had. And instead of throwing it away, he just kind of looked at it and, you know, put it in his pocket. And that was the reference to the fuck it.
Okay.
So you went through this whole thing about, no, I'm cool, I got a girl, but at the end of the day, you kept the number.
Right, yeah. And that, I guess that's niggas, huh? Well, man,
mm-hmm.
I ain't gonna say niggas.
Mm-hmm.
That's a shame.
99.9%.
No, I'm going to say 89.9%.
Okay.
There are some that, depending on age and when they decide to grow up, that will not do that. But most of the time, I have to say, and I'm not trying to take up for men because I'm a man, a lot of them are just, they just don't grow up. Or they think, because you got, oh, it depends, you got old men in the club, you got young men, you got different ones that's out there that think that they got to play this, portray this role, and think they have to be with stuff. And a lot of time, I'm going to tell you, probably about 50% of the guys, no, I ain't going to say that's too low. Probably about 60% of the guys that talk all that ain't really doing shit. But they want everybody to think they are.
True.
And then you got some that like, and what I'm seeing in the book, he probably just happened on that. You know, it's not always what they make it seem like, because they try to make it seem like they're doing so much.
He's the type of guy that's just always had his way. It's never been nothing, you know, in the way of him doing what he wanted to do. And then,
Shantae comes
into the picture, so she's like a game changer.
So I'm going to ask you this, because I'm sure that this person that you've written about, is it several people that you put together and made it to a character, or is it someone that, if they were to read this book, would see themselves portraying
that
role?
Definitely would see it. Definitely would see it.
And was that your
intention?
Was that your intention when you wrote to make sure that person understood that they did you the way they did?
I'm hoping so if they were to read it, yes. Because if there was ever any unanswered issue, question, or whatever, you know, it would be pretty much in front of their face. And also,
I wish his ass would call in so we could talk to him about it. It would be lovely to have his fucking ass call in.
It might snow tonight.
We can talk shit about him and say, hey, man, your game is out there. But then again, he might try to get you for slander, but hell, I don't know. Anyway,
it was, you know, because I have a lot of friends, a lot of family that are in situations similar to that, maybe not exactly. And I just want them to know, see what's really going on. Maybe they'll open them up, or maybe they'll be like, oh, yeah, I know what you meant when you wrote that. Like, a lot of people just like, yes, I had somebody do that to me, and yeah, and I felt like that. And, I mean, it just touches a lot of people because.
And that's good.
Yeah, because, I mean, it happens every day, whether it's on the male side or the female side.
It's a shame that people put up these perceptions to make you think that they're one way when they're really something else. And I think all of us are guilty of that in some way, even if we didn't intentionally do it. A lot of us have probably fooled someone, or they may have fooled themselves. I'm not going to say that person's always fooling you, because you can fool yourself into thinking something when you're feeling it and you're hoping that they are too, and then, you know, it's just one of those things, and I don't want to go deep into it because I don't want to talk about this shit. But anyway, it can happen. It can happen when you're not trying to, you know, make it that way, and you, leading people on is not good. I've been guilty of that. Because
it just leads to more issues,
anyone
more
who
problems.
I've hurt that way. Yes. You know, you don't want to hurt nobody, and you don't intend. Sometimes people really don't intend on doing it. It's just one of those things that happens, and then once the thing is when they see it happening, they have to make a decision at that point. Do they want to continue to hurt this person, or do they want to come clean and not do it anymore? Most of the time, you got people, they'll continue to go with it. Well, fuck it. They should have knew. They would, you know, that's when it becomes destructive. That's when it becomes destructive. So have you been doing any book signings and going out and talking to people about the subject matter?
Well, with my book, like, it's available in paperback, like you had mentioned, when you got your copy. So, basically, besides the Facebook and get my paperbacks, like, I pretty much sold a great deal of what I ordered at work. Like, people just talk about it all the time because I told them I wrote a book, but I guess when they finally saw it actually in my hand, they're like, oh, okay. So it's a pretty big discussion. Like, the people in human resources on down have read it, and they're just like, I can't believe you wrote this. I didn't know we had a writer in the such-and-such plan. And when you come
so
out
you,
with the next one, I'm just going to give
yeah,
you $10
so yes, now. Right. How do you feel about that, that you were able to do this? Because, you know, there are so many people, even though it's easy to publish nowadays, there are so many people that want to write a book, and they always say they want to write about their life and all this stuff, but they never do, or they never write. You have accomplished. If you don't ever write again, you have accomplished one book that is out there. How do you feel about that?
It's really unreal to me. Like, I just feel like somebody's going to tap me and be like, okay, wake back up, because it's something I've been talking about doing forever. And I just never really thought I would have the opportunity or, you know, make time to actually do it and for it to actually be out there. Like, it's still times I just don't believe it. I'm just sitting
right
back like, yeah, okay, yeah, right. It's unreal. I mean, it's really been a blessing. I feel so grateful for the opportunity just to get it out there. If I never put anything else out, just to have that out there so somebody can be like, oh, she wrote touched me, you know, I liked it, maybe I didn't like it, whatever, but it's out there. It's just,
right,
it's an amazing feeling. It really is.
And you earned it. You know, it really is a good thing. And like I said, and since we got the other author here, what's your name again? I'm sorry, baby.
Hello,
Stacy? Yes.
I'm sorry, I had
okay.
The mute button down.
That's all right, Stacy. You are now on the show, so you might as well just stay on. Don't even mute.
Just hang out.
You're here. Just hang out, because I'm going to ask you some questions, too, because you got some erotica going on, and I want to see what's in your mind.
No, not
big erotica.
You
don't want to know what she got going on over there.
Oh, well, you know, I don't know how much you guys know about me, but, you know, the Word Sex has been around for about 6 years. I'm an author as well, and I have 12 books out. And most of them majority of them are erotic fiction. So, you know, when we say Word Sex Radio, we want to talk erotica, but it's not always about that. We like to bring urban fiction and all types of genres on the show. So with that being said, Miss Stacy, and I guess you guys are writing on your real names. These are not pseudonyms, right?
Well, mine's not my real name. I'm married, and I didn't want to put my married name down.
So,
me
okay,
either.
So Stacy is not your real name. That's a pseudonym.
Yes. Stacy Thomas is my real name. However, I got married, and I didn't want to include my married name. So people that know me by Stacy Thomas know me.
Okay. So why did you tell us your real name on the show? You could have just came up with your pseudonym, which is?
Well, no. Okay, I'll say that. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm confusing you. Stacy Thomas is my maiden name. I write under my maiden name.
Okay, well, that's still people know you. Like, I write, my real name is not Red Snapper, so.
Yeah, okay. Well.
You see what I'm saying? You could have came up with Sexy Chocolate or some shit and wrote the book. You know, I'm just saying why you didn't do that. I mean, you decided to.
Okay. Well, I thought about it in all honesty. I was so proud of myself that I wanted people to know that I actually had did what I set out to do when I made the decision.
Trust me, they was going
to
find out. They was going to find out, like Zane.
Yeah, and then I debated. I said, you know what, with the internet and everything, and if I want to do book signings to try to get readers to support me, they're going to find out regardless.
Absolutely. Well, it's fine, and you can always write under pseudonyms later. I mean, I have different pseudonyms that I write under as well, not just Red Snapper, but because I do different genres. I don't just write just erotica, but it's just the majority of books I have out right now are erotica. I have some other books that I'm writing that are serial killer type books and different things. But, you know, I have a couple of paranormal books out, you know, stuff like that. So it just depends. You can, with this writing game, you can take this, if you're serious about being a writer, you can do a lot of things
with
it.
I'm still on the phone. Yeah, and
uh-oh.
I've decided, like, later in the future, I'm going to do a synonym.
You're going to do what? I'm sorry.
I'm going to do another name. I won't always write under this name.
Right. Well, Stacey Thomas is fine. I'm going to have to look you up now and see what you got out there, because that is interesting. That's a generic name. And definitely generic. Anybody can be Stacey Thomas. So how deep does Stacey get in her books? That's what we want to know. Are you saying the words? Are you saying dick and ass and pussy? Or are you just using metaphors? Are you using shit like the sex is her sex? She touched his tool? Or what are you saying?
Well, I use some of the real words for the sexual body part. I don't try.
Right.
My language isn't harsh. I'm a little different. I'm in a very, very, very soft erotica genre. I write stories based on things that happen in real life, and it sticks with the old-fashioned sex, flesh on flesh mostly.
Okay, so you're not a Harlequin romance writer, are you?
No,
and if you are, that's
No, I write stories.
My flower, he touched
stories.
The flower and shit, and her flower bloomed.
No. He touched it.
It's not like that, is it? It's not like that, is it? Or is it, you know?
Nah, it's like, if she bends down, he sees the prettiest pussy he's ever laid his eyes on, type thing. You know what I mean? He doesn't say the flower.
Good. Just wondering, because, you know, a lot of people, there's a difference in romance and erotica. Some people get it mixed up. You know, romance is more, you have the happy ever after. And mostly romance novels are just those two people involved and nobody else, and it's just them going back and forth in their relationship. And usually at the end, they ride off in the sunset together. But if you write like a Red Snapper book, you got 6-7 different 8 people fucking, all kinds of shit going on. And but there is a plot. It's not just sex. Yeah, check me
okay.
out. The book that's out now that I have out is called Amoris After Dark. And I say it's not about me. I'm just going to put it out there right now since you kind of segue into it for me. It's about this woman who is a corporate executive during the day, and at night she's a hoe. She's a thot, or whatever you want to call her. And she enjoys doing these things, and she ends up going to the Bahamas on an assignment where she is, they're going to trick her into something and make it seem like she's doing something she isn't, but she's having sex and having fun at the same time. So, you know, you have to check out. I mean, it's whatever, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, these books, I have a series called Scandalous Motives that's out there. It's a 5-book series in the Kansas City setting. And it talks about people, the things that they're doing, scandalous motives behind each other's backs. About 4 women who meet every month for a ladies' night or ladies out, but they're doing different things that they're keeping from each other. So it's kind of funny, but you know. But like I said, it's not about me. But anyway, we're going back on you again because we know that you know, you say you have 2 books. Is that the only 2, or is that just in a series?
They're the only 2. I'm working on a 3rd.
Is it part of a series, or is it a standalone, or something that's different?
Okay, actually, I'm working on 2 books. One's part of the series. It'll end Sins of the Flesh, and the second one will be up under Urban.
Okay. And that's another question. I'm gonna ask you both, and I'm gonna say, Adriana, you start with answering first, and then Stacey. What made you decide to choose the genre that you chose to write in?
I chose to write in urban genre because it was easier for me to relate to, and I felt like if it's something that I can relate to and build on, I mean, I think I'd be able to portray it a lot better. Like, I wouldn't try to go out and write some sci-fi or something and I really have no idea what to write or how that would even process. Like, urban was just, it was more at home for me. And
so urban would be the only genre that you would write in?
No, I mean, I would try to branch out and write in other things, but it would just be, you just asked about why particularly for this, it was just, it was easier for me to write in that. But I would try to write in another genre, but I think science fiction would probably be the hardest thing for me to try to do.
Well, you don't have to do science fiction. I'm just saying because, like, I mean, you might decide you want to take, you know, you can always take genres and combine them and stuff as well and make them your own. Like, you can take an urban twist to a if you did write a sci-fi. Say for instance, you wrote a sci-fi book in an urban setting. Well, you got the dude out there selling drugs, and all of a sudden this alien walks up to him and wants to buy some weed or whatever. And, of course, he looks like a regular person, but then he notices that there's something wrong with this guy, and all of a sudden he, you know, this alien's going around taking over different hustlers or something. I mean, you know, there's different ways you can take stuff and be creative and do stuff and have these aliens, they're taking over by taking over the hustler industry, saying that they're going to take over the world, but we want to get everybody by the drugs, and they put something in the drugs or whatever. I mean, there's ways to do shit. So I was just wondering if you like writing in that because you know that's your background, or would you be willing to go into a different setting? So let me ask you, Stacy, how do you feel about that? Will you always be writing erotica, or will you said you're going to do urban as well?
No, I'm going to write a little bit of I didn't mean to do erotica first, but I'm going to move to urban, and eventually I want to do a Christian novel.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, what's a Christian spectrum novel? Yeah, so what's a Christian novel? Because, you know, everybody has their own what they perceive to be a Christian novel. To you, what do you call a Christian novel?
Well, okay, maybe I should change that because I'm new to the writing world and I'm trying to find my place. When I say Christian novel.
No, it's okay. It's fine. You don't have to. Yeah, just
okay.
What's your definition?
When I say Christian novel, I mean I'll write a story based on something that happens in real life, but it'll be a story that really shows how powerful God is, you know,
right.
For believers. It's just something with me. My mind is all over the place. I'm interested in so many things. I won't be able to stick to one genre.
And that's great. That's what being an author is about. You know, nothing wrong with authors that stay in one genre, but, you know, to be creative in this world and to love it, as far as the writing literary world is, I think that you want to try doing other things. You know, I would never write poetry because I don't think I can do poetry, but I will try other genres of writing to see if I can make something happen with that. So,
yeah.
You know, that's just what I think because, you know, you can write about it. I'm doing a serial killer book. I've never killed anybody, but I have to do research on different serial killings and stuff like that to see how it goes. But, you know, you can put it together, and the art of writing is to make people convince them that you know, your character is really doing the things that they're doing. So you can do that and never have experienced it. It's like all the erotica that I write. I haven't done all that shit. I'd be dead. I'm trying to fucking do all the shit that I wrote. But you have to be able to convince people that, you know, all this shit is really happening. I've had some people, and I always say this all the time, I had some people that did some reviews on one of my books, and the girl was, I guess she was using this as an excuse to read the whole series. She kept saying, everything was messed up, and I don't know why they didn't use safe sex. So I said, well, let me try the second book, and I'm going to see what the fuck they doing here and see if this is safe sex in this one. Well, I'm going to try the third book, and I'm going to see if they really using rubbers and shit in this one. I mean, she read the whole series, but she kept using that as an excuse to read the next book. You see what I mean? So,
yeah.
And, you know, and because she didn't want people to know she was reading that kind of stuff or felt, you know, like she was wrong for reading erotica or got hot. What probably happened, she got hot and wanted to stop and masturbate or do something. And because I believe that when you write erotica, if you're not going to stop, if you can't make somebody want to get hot and make them want to relieve themselves or feel like they're in the book doing the shit, then you ain't doing
your
job.
I know, that's right. That's right. I had a.
That's what you have to do. Yes.
I had. I guess she's like a minister. When she found out I wrote the book, she said to me, "Stacy, I want that book when it's done, and then I'm coming back to talk to you." So I said to myself, "You want that book to see what's in it for you." And
exactly.
She came back a few weeks later and she said, "Jesus told me to close that book on chapter 2." I said, "He did?" I said, "I'm so sorry. You can bring the book back to me." "No, no, no. I might have to read it another time. He just told me shut it down."
Well, you know, what you should tell them when people come to you like that is, and I think a lot of Christians, you know, I bless their hearts. I believe that they forget that how they got on this earth was through sex.
That's right.
And
exactly.
that God created sex. So, and he wants you to enjoy sex. It doesn't mean that just because you're a Christian that you can't enjoy the fruits of it. But see, the church, I blame the church for that, since we're on this subject, because a lot of these people in the pulpit will tell you that it's wrong to think these ways and all these things and all this stuff, and then they up there doing shit anyway. You know, and,
yeah,
and I'm not saying they all are.
Taboo,
that's right.
You want to be taboo and act like, oh,
right.
we don't do this. We don't talk
right.
about this.
You know, or, you know, some preachers will preach over the line, and I'm sorry, I'm only preachers, and I'm going to get off of it, but they'll tell you, you can't have oral sex with your husband or your wife. I mean, what you do in your, but the Bible tells you that what you do in your bedroom with your husband or wife is undefiled in God's eyes. So if you want to have oral sex with your wife, and that's keeping her in home and keeping your husband at home, for him not wanting the Sister Cucumber or Brother Cabbage in the church, then you should do those things. And a lot of people need to keep the pastor out of the bedroom. I'm going to leave it alone
that's
right
true.
There because
that's
a whole other damn show. So, you know, we'll just leave that shit where it is. And if you want to call in or you got any comments, the number is 917-889-8206. This is Word Sexy Radio, and you can talk about that. I'm going to check this number, 205 area code, and see if they have a question or if this is someone that's supposed to be on the show. Set your name and where you're calling from. And if
Pardon?
You don't want to speak, please don't hang up. Yes, 205 area code. State your name and where
yes.
you're calling from.
Well, my name is Nikita Williams, and my sister that I'm hearing is with me as well from the same publication that I'm with. So I just wanted to hear and see what we're talking about today. That's all.
Okay. Did you have a question for any of the authors?
Well, I'm new as well to the game, so I just wanted to see, you know, about how did they start reading or what made them start to write.
Okay. Who wants to jump that? We'll let Adrian start with that, and then we'll let Stacy.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, Nikita. Nikita has
You're
been coming
welcome.
Out too soon, August 1st. One plus
Thank
Benny.
You.
Okay.
I wanted to have them shine. You know, I didn't want to come in and plug my book in, but I wanted to, you know, hear about their stories, you know.
Well, you can plug your book, too,
Facebook,
but we want to hear your
never,
shit.
I didn't want to plug my own in. It's just all about them today, you know. But I wanted to know how did they start to write or what made them start writing.
Okay. Well, me, I've just always loved to read from the time, you know, elementary on up. And I just, I guess, you know, sometimes you have dreams or you envision stories in your head, and I just wanted to write it down. And,
okay.
you know, just stuff like that, I'm always more interested in reading than actually, you know, watching a movie or watching TV because I like for my imagination to take over.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, write it down as it comes along. That's what I do.
Okay. Interesting.
Hey,
okay.
Go ahead, Stacey.
I didn't intend to write a book, to be very honest. I'm a very avid reader, and but I would write sometimes just to make my coworkers and my girlfriends laugh.
Yeah.
So it became a dare with them, and then something else was going on with me. Whenever I lay down, I've got these
things horny,
playing in my mind. No. I'm telling you, and I dream a lot, and I never knew
okay.
what the dreams were until I said, you know what? I want to do something. They're pretty much daring me to write the book. I'm going to write the book so when I get older, I'm not regret not doing it. And then,
okay.
when I, then when I sat there and started writing, oh, my goodness, the dreams and everything just started to flow. That's how the book
mm-hmm.
came.
That's
now,
it. All right.
Now,
cool.
I wasn't 20. That's why I wrote the book. I didn't intend to write about sex.
It's okay, baby, if you do it or not. It's okay. I wrote 12 novels about sex, and I intended to write about that shit, okay? But let me tell you, I wrote them, and I'm glad I'm writing one right now. It's going to be coming
uh-huh.
out next year. But the thing is, I don't know, I know you didn't ask me why what made me want to write, but I'm going to tell you.
Can I ask you a question first?
Sure.
When you write the erotica book, does it take a toll on you in any way?
Yeah, it makes me, like I said earlier, when I write, if
uh-huh.
I'm not getting hot on the shit I'm writing and have to stop to do whatever I need to do to relieve
okay.
myself, then I'm not
okay.
doing a good job.
Not good. All right.
I, That's right. That's right. Okay.
Because that's
okay.
How you write erotica. If it's not getting you hot, how do you expect somebody else to get hot?
You got that right.
So that's the thing. You have to be, when you write that kind of thing, that's what you have to do. And I think you can do that with other genres as well. You know, of course, like, you can't go kill somebody because you want to expect them to, you know, to feel
right.
That you can, you know. But the thing is you have to make them believe. And that's
mm-hmm.
What our job is as writers, is to make it so believable, make it so real that they can see themselves doing it, or that they,
mm-hmm.
you know, can feel themselves doing it or whatever, and, or see the character doing it. And erotica is like that. You have to be able to have yourself in such a manner to be able to, if you expect someone to get hot on that scene, then you should be getting hot on that scene. If it's not working for you, then you shouldn't put it in there. But that's how it is. And I enjoy doing it. So it's great. It's good. It's, you know, turn on for me, and that's how I started. What started me writing them back in 2009, I was reading some Zane books and seeing all these other books and seeing what people were doing. And I was like, well, damn, I can do this. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
look that hard to me. So I just came up with a story and just started making shit up and put an outline together. And next thing you know, I had a novel. And, you know, it turned into a 5-book series. The first book that I wrote turned into a 5-book series. So it just depends on how much you want to write. I always knew I wanted to write, but I never knew how I was going to start it until it just happened. So...
Okay. I came in late on the online with the conversation. I'm sorry. What's your name? And
what is my name?
Hello. Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm Red Snapper. I'm the host of Word Sexy Radio. Yes.
Okay.
And your name again?
My name is Nikita Williams.
All right. Do you write under that name, or are you?
I do. I do. Yeah.
Okay. And I know you have several books out. You want to kind of talk about your genre?
Well, I didn't want to I don't want to plug it on Stacey's and their conversation. But
Stacey
my
did it because Stacey
out.
Wasn't supposed to be on the show tonight.
Oh, done. You know what?
I'm playing. I'm just playing. Adrian doesn't mind, and I'm sure that it's okay.
Well, Adrian, I don't want this Adrian Scott. I know she's been booking it all day on Facebook, so I want to hear her story and see what she was all about. But my book will be out August the 1st. It'll be my first book. So
okay.
I'm hoping,
August 1st, huh?
August 1st.
And what's
your
genre?
I'm nervous about it. It's urban.
Okay,
well,
let me ask you that.
Like
you opening up, urban contemporary. So you're opening the doors for me to ask you a question. Why are you nervous about dropping your book?
Because, well, to be honest, I started with another publishing company. And when I went with them, it was like totally wrong. I mean, I spent a lot of money with them. So it's like you're kind of scared because you trust somebody with your story, with your work, and it's not go the way that you want it to go. But I think this time I'm in good hands now.
Was it like Arthur House or something like that?
Well, it was with Ex Libris Online.
Uh-huh.
I never heard of them, but it was with Ex Libris. And it was like everything we did with them, it's like they wanted money. At first, it was like one package, and all of a sudden, it was like, well, to edit, another 1,000. The cover, 500. Like, everything was just so much money. But to the point where I just, like, really lost faith. And then a friend of mine, you know, got me with where I'm at now. And so by this time, I really do feel that this time is a winner. But you just feel so sometimes still kind of scared because you want to, like, will the writers like your book? I mean, will the readers like your book? Or will they, you know, just nervous about it.
Well, let me tell you this, and I know you don't want to, like you said, you're not trying to steal nobody's thunder. And I don't think the women mind, but if they do, please tell me.
Please.
I think that.
No, I don't mind.
Okay.
So this is what I'm going to say. I'm glad you brought this up because a lot of authors face this. They want to get out, and they have so much zeal in the beginning when they first start that they go to these
mm-hmm.
companies because they don't know how to put out a book. So they
mm-hmm.
go to these author houses and these different companies to put the books out, and they charge you so much to do it. I'm guilty of that. My first 4 books that I wrote, I went through the author house thing as well, and I'll give you my experience. They're gonna take your money to put a book out that you could have done yourself on CreateSpace or whatever, as we have now. And they're not gonna edit it, they're not gonna do anything, they're gonna charge you for the cover. What happens is if you try to move that book to another publishing company, you have to redo the cover and ISBN and all that because they own that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not yours. you would have to restructure and redo the book, and then you're going to have several versions of the book. I have my first five books, probably three different versions of it out there because of that learning experience. So I always like when we talk about that on the show as well. We try to tell people if you're coming into the literary game and you need to really do research, because a lot of times these, I call them synthetic publishing companies, will get you, and then after you get a book out, they want to try to, oh, you want to get into a screenplay? We can fix it up for you for a screenplay, and we can do all this, and they want to charge you all this money to edit the book, $1,200 to edit it and all this. You know, we want you to have a good book, and, you know,
I guess it's like you want your dream to happen so bad, and then you want your dream to happen so bad. So the first person that comes along, they sell you this good. Really, they're really selling you their story. Oh, we could do this, we could do that, we could do this. And then once you realize you don't waste the first time and also money, and then when you tapped out, they're like, well, we can't do nothing for you no more. But the only good thing about them was I can walk away when I want to walk away. That was a good thing about it, because the contract was, if I wanted to leave, I can leave at any time.
Well,
with my story. You know.
Okay. Well, yeah, but like I said, you can take your story. You know, you'll take your story, but to put that story out the way you put it out before, you won't be able to do that again. You can take the story and put it out like that, but what I mean by that is you have to do a new cover, you have to get a new ISBN number, you have to get all these new things, because they own that.
True.
See, they don't tell
the
you
only,
all. If you don't
the
read
the
fine print, you don't
say,
know that.
With this time, I could be wrong, but I feel that with this time, the cover is the bomb. Everything was just so, even the cover, the editing, because when I compare the editing that I have now, the editing I had before is totally different. But like you said, you don't know. You live and you learn. You know, you don't know.
That's right.
Because you live and you learn. So each
that is correct.
Each step that you go into, you know, you're going to make mistakes.
Right.
So, you know, and I hope that, you know, our story, even your story, will let people know of what, you know, what direction to go into. But like you said, you want your dream to happen so bad where first person comes along, you jumping into it.
Yeah, and you also got to be careful.
It's a lesson learned.
And since you brought this up, I want to let people that's aspiring to write as well know that be careful when you sign these contracts with some of these publishing companies, these new companies that's coming out now. You know, these authors, they're bringing their companies. You know, I went through that as well. I started a company and had some authors, and I chose to not do it anymore because it's a trip on my side of it. But then you have publishers out there that will publish you, and they want to give you so much money. You know, they bling. You know, they get you like that, and then next thing you know, they have all the rights or whatever, and they only give you so much money, and then they stop paying you because they try to tell you that the royalties are not coming, and blah blah blah. You've got to be careful when you sign with any companies, even the what we call mainstream companies like your Simon & Schuster and all that stuff. Because if your book is not selling and they give you an advance on royalties, after 2 years and your book's not doing well, you have to give them that money back, some of that money back, and they're going to expect you to buy those books back, and you'll have them. You know, a lot of people don't know the game like that.
So you
have to be careful when you do these things. That's why they're mad at Amazon and CreateSpace and all these companies, Lulu and all them, that you can go out here and you can publish. You know, Amazon is probably making the most money out of all of this because they're not charging you, but they are charging you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, you can put everything out, but they get a little of your royalties from your book because they're putting you out on Ingram and everything. So your book is getting everywhere. The only thing is when you do print and demand books, you can't put them in like your Barnes and Nobles and stuff like that, because a lot of those companies don't want to do consignments with people that have print on demand. They want you to have a warehouse somewhere that has books so that if they don't sell, they can sell the books back to you.
Yeah.
When they know you print on demand, they won't fuck with you because they're like, oh no, we buy 15 books, we can't sell them back. So you have to really do your research in the game.
It's very tricky.
You know,
it's crazy.
And a lot of the mainstream authors are upset because a lot of authors are coming out, especially with urban fiction. Let's talk about urban fiction. They feel that urban fiction is a genre that is, like you said, What it does, what I see with urban fiction, the positive side of it, I see, is it's getting people to read that normally wouldn't read because they see themselves in the books, so they're reading. They see the language that they know in the books, so they're reading. Normally,
exactly.
In the past, when they was reading Catcher in the Rye, nobody wanted to read that shit. You didn't see yourself in that or Huck Finn or whatever. You know, who saw themselves as
yeah.
unless you saw yourself as a slave? So
exactly.
they see themselves in these books now, so they're buying these books. They're mad because we can publish on CreateSpace or do these different publishing, you know, that way. You can buy a cover. You can add it, put on. You know, I mean, you can spend – you ain't got to spend really no money at all if you don't want to, but you can spend a little bit, get a good cover or whatever, put it out there. Put your own name on it. You buy your own ISBN for $150. I mean, there's ways to do all this and it still be you under your publishing company, your own. But the thing is they're mad because they feel like they went through all this trouble to get these contracts, and now you can just go out there and publish a book or a movie or whatever on CreateSpace. Did you know they do movies and they also do CDs? You can put your music out and all that on there as well.
Wow. I didn't know that. Either.
Yeah, it's all there. So they're mad at that. And we've had people like James Patterson who put out saying that they feel like that the CreateSpace and all these people are doing the literary game wrong because they're letting anybody write these books and they're not editing. They think that urban fiction is not being edited. They're just putting it out there because how do you edit slang and all this? You know, they're saying all kinds of shit. What is your thoughts on that? Because you guys write in this genre, I think, and even if you didn't, what do you think about that? Because a lot of people are putting books out.
Well,
books out is kind of garbage.
I just have one statement for, I guess, what he said, and that would be, you know, opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
There you go. But
I just feel anytime something new comes along, you're going to have a head, you're going to have a mouth. Anytime people are, sometimes to me, I'll say stuck in southern ways. They won't change, but they don't want to make the change. So anytime you have something new that comes out, someone is overbounding them, they're going to be talked regardless. And I, to be honest, I'm not going to call anybody, but I have read stuff. I'm like, oh, my God, this is fucking garbage. You know, but it's like they're the ones that, man wants to be hating when someone comes along and blow them out the water. You see what I'm saying? So,
right. So what do you think about these books that's coming out now, like Urban Bitches, Thought This and Hold That and The Bitch Came, Can't Stop, and, you know, all these books with these names now, and they always have the train of, you know, it might be a dark-skinned woman on the cover and she has to be the hoe. Why does it have to always be a dark-skinned woman that's the hoe? Or whatever. I mean, what do you think, you know? Looking at books, and I'm not talking about your book, because I'm just saying everybody has a book that has the background. They have the scene, the city, the people on the front, the car, all this shit. What are we gonna?
Yeah.
Why are we portraying ourselves like this all the time? And then we wonder why people talk about our shit. So I just want to get y'all's opinion on that.
I just think, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, some people think it's, you know, vulgar and disrespectful, and some people think it's everyday life. I mean, it, like Stacey said, everybody's going to have an opinion. People aren't going to like it. But, I mean, you could have, you know, such bits in your title. You could have Mary Had a Little Lamb. I mean, somebody's going to be offended somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean,
there
you're
you
not going to please everybody. So, I mean,
right.
if you don't want to read it because you don't like how the title looks or the cover page looks, don't read it.
There you go.
I mean, if it wasn't on there and you read it anyway and was like, oh, this was good, and then all of a sudden you saw the cover and was like, I can't believe I read that. Well, you already read it now, so it shouldn't matter that it had bits on the cover, a thought on the cover, a hole on the cover. I mean,
okay,
it's your choice
to read
it. You don't have to
read
it if you don't want to.
That's true. That is very true. But I'm just saying with African-American literature.
Okay.
And I'm just going to go this way. I'm just trying to, I'm being devil's advocate right now. With African-American literature, a lot of times people think the only way we can portray ourselves is this way, that we can't write, like you said, science fiction or something else because we don't have the mind, so we have to write what we know, and that's this all the time. And we always portray ourselves this way. But then we want to get out of being looked upon that way, so how do we do that if we keep putting stuff like this out?
Okay, let me just clear up something, because I said the science fiction. That I was just using that as an example. Like I don't
And I'm
really
using that as an example too.
I don't really get it. I mean, I'm not gonna say I would never write a different genre, but that to me, like compiling aliens with drug dealers, or you're walking down the street with your significant other and some little pod or something pops out and green goo's on your face, like that's kind of out the box to me. I might go a little towards horror more so than sci-fi.
But that's good, though. What you're saying is, well, I'm not telling you that you need to write that, and I'm glad you use that analogy. What I'm saying is, you know, you can continue to write. If you want to write urban fiction and that's all you want to do, that's fine. Nobody's saying you got to change, but I'm just saying that, you know, we put out what we put out. And like you said, if people don't want to read it, they don't have to. But the thing is you got some people, and I'm not saying you guys. You have some people that's on one hand saying one thing, and then they're saying something else. And I think somebody already said it tonight. You can't satisfy everybody. So if they don't want to read this shit, don't read it. Read what they want to read.
My intake on it is, like she said, eventually she may want to venture out to do other genres. But I think, and what I just say is me as myself. I'm new. Is new to the writing. Yeah, I've been writing like behind closed doors, but actually like putting my book together is my first time ever putting a book together. So I guess as time progresses and the more you get to, I guess, learn, experience, and then you probably will venture out to other genres. But I know I can't write no street hardcore. I don't know what that's about. I can't sit up and say, I'm be honest, I can't say, well, drug dealers, bang, bang, that's not my style. But maybe 2 years from now, maybe it's me getting experience. Maybe it's, as a writer, I mean, see, you know, I can write about other stuff. But I guess as of right now, I don't know about hardcore, you know, as they're writing now. I don't know about that. But maybe if I get more experience in the literature world, I can. You know what I'm saying? So I guess as I learn, you know.
I just want y'all to understand I'm not trying to get y'all to write something else. This is just conversation.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying, because you should be able to, as a writer, as an author, to venture out. Even, I took it back to, I guess, rappers. 2 years from now, they're rapping. They say now they're on TV. So it's like they venture out to do stuff. I never thought I'd see T.I. when he first came out doing a movie. But now he's to me, and he's now writing, he's writing now on movies now. So, you know, you never know what 3, 4, 5 years now will hold.
And what I'm getting from what you're saying is this is your way of getting into the game. And then later on, they may, like those rappers, we use them as an example. A lot of them, they have the memory aspect because you got to be able to remember what you're rapping about. So they already proved to society that they can remember the lines in an acting for a scene. So, and if they have some ability to that, you know, then they should be able to be successful, like the LL Cool J's or the Queen Latifah's or whatever that's now, or who was a great actor that was a rapper is Mos Def. So my thing is you know, they already show that they can memorize, but that might have been their goal in the first place, was to get into acting, but they knew the only way to get seen was to come into rap or something, to get out there, just to get themselves into the door. You know, so I understand what you're saying, and that so it's what you know you got to do, and it may not be your intent to write in something else. That's fine. If you don't have to. But my thing is, you know, you can expand. Like you said, you never thought you would see T.I. writing for movies and stuff now, but he is. So we can involve into whatever. Like I never thought I'd be writing screenplays, but I have a couple of screenplays that I'm going to get out there. But like you said, if you don't try and grow in your craft, then you won't know. And that's what you're saying. You want to grow. Right now you can't. But who's to say in 2 years you won't be able to write about a street? I've never been in the mafia, but I've written some books that talk mafia shit. But you can always do research and find out things. And you can parallel stuff. And I have a degree in history, so a lot of times I like to put historical stuff in my books as well. That's a genre as well, historical fiction, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But you can take some things that happened in the past and kind of parallel it towards your characters. A lot of actors in movies do it all the time. It's like The Butler and all that. They parallel a lot of things that's going on in history and make their characters live in that time frame. So you've got your stuff there. You just work with it. So, I mean, it can be done. And as far as, you know, getting back to the science fiction, not writing about a pod and all that stuff, I hope you don't, because I don't want you to do that. But I'm just saying, it's just, you know,
that
nobody wants you to write
that. Above the top, because I'm just, I don't even really watch, like, sci-fi movies and stuff, not too often. I did watch Planet of the Apes. I don't know if it's sci-fi or what. But
yeah, that's
pretty,
like sci-fi. But, you know, my thing with sci-fi is you write. You don't want to write sci-fi unless you do the research. You have to research, because people that read that stuff, they know about molecules and different things. You got to have the scientific stuff down. If you're saying that this airplane can fly sideways and go upside down three times, you got to have the technology in your book to show that it can do it, because they got to check to see if that shit can really happen.
Yeah.
That's the difference in writing sci-fi. Now, Octavia Butler, who is a black female, she's gone now. She used to write science fiction. A lot of people didn't know that it was a black woman that was writing science fiction back in the 70s. She has written several, but nobody knew she was black. So there are black science fiction authors out there. But, you know, it just depends on what you want to write. Yeah. If urban is your thing, that's fine. I'm just saying, you know, people are going to talk about your craft. They talk about erotica. They might say it's too much sex. How much is too much sex? How much is not enough? You know,
exactly.
Some people want every
that's
scene to be
person.
Fucking like porn. Then you got some that don't want, that may not want all the sex scenes. They might want two or three in a book. You know, Christian fiction books, when somebody spoke about that earlier, they want sex in those too, but they don't want it to be overbearing where they feel like they're sinning. But they still want to get that feeling too. So that's why I was asking, what do you know about Christian fiction? Because a lot of times people say something's Christian fiction, it really isn't. Like I'll give you an example, like Rotunda Shape Billingsley's books. She writes, her books have titles that, like, Let the Church Say Amen and stuff like that. But her books aren't Christian fiction, but they still put her in that category because they look at the title. But her books have fucking, cussing, all that in it. But to me, that would be still a Christian book, because people live like that. Just because you write a Christian fiction book, but people don't cuss, they don't, you know, I don't know. But anyway, let me stop talking. I just wanted to just kind of put that out there. But, you know, it's just, we as authors have to be able to, at one point, say we want to try something. It doesn't mean you have to actually do it. It doesn't mean you have to publish it. But you want to kind of see if you can do things and see if your creativity is there.
Yeah, because you don't want to just be at a standstill. You want to grow.
Right.
You don't want to just be, this person just do this, and this. You want to be, she is this. She's multiple things. So in due time, you know, in God's blessing, you will, and I hope we all will be. Put it that way.
Yeah, because, you know, one of the books that came out back in the a few years ago that everybody has read and they talk about it. As soon as I say the title, you guys will probably have read this book. It's called The Coldest Winter Ever by Sister Sophie.
Of course.
That was my first book ever.
You see what I'm saying?
They all come up missing.
But the rest of her books have not been that cold. I'm surprised they haven't made
it.
Well,
I like them. I like the Midnight and then
I will be on. I bought Midnight. It was thick as the Bible. And I thought it was going to be more about the family, but it was totally different.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally
caught
different.
Caught me by surprise on that one.
And
The reason why it was like that is because she was hungry when she wrote The Coldest Winter Ever.
Yep.
You can't lose your hunger. Once you get a few books out, you can't lose your luster and your hunger. You got to keep that drive. Like a lot of authors or a lot of artists that make music, you could tell when they made certain songs that they was hungry and they really was trying to get out.
Yeah.
Then later on, you can listen
I'm
to some of the stuff, and
you
know that they ain't hungry no more. They got a little bit going on. They just putting something out just because.
Mm-hmm.
I could not
have
ever right now that it's like, okay, I don't know what you talking about now, but 5 or 6 years ago,
But, you know, I
who was that again?
The part three to that movie, to that book, I'm sorry.
To what's that? To what book?
The Coldest Winter Ever.
The Coldest Winter Ever? Okay.
Is that part three to that?
No, there were three books. One was Midnight. Now, was Midnight part two to that?
I heard it was a number after Midnight. I could be wrong. I thought it was. I could be wrong.
There was something else. There was a couple of
them. One of Winter's sisters. I got it on my Nook, actually. I can't think of the name of it. I think it was Portia. or something like that. Like, she, that was supposed to have been what was coming after the coldest one ever. I get it. I mean, I liked it. But no, it wasn't like the coldest one ever. But I mean, it was good, though. It was okay.
She poured a lot into that first book.
Yeah.
And
the first one was, yeah.
And the other ones, you know, she has flavor there, but it's not the same because you was expecting that same thing. And see, that's what we have to kind of look at when we write our books, that we are pulling that same kind of feeling with our fans that are reading.
Yeah.
So I know.
I agree.
Out of all the books I've written, I know all of them aren't the same. I know my Scandalous Motive series was good for those. And then there's probably a couple that I wrote that probably wasn't shit, I'm sure. But then it depends. Like, I have this book called Acts of Congress out that people have been begging me to write the part two to, which I have a title for called House Book Number. But anyway, I haven't started on it yet. But the name of, the reason why I wrote Acts of Congress, people were so into that book because it was about a transvestite that was using congressmen to make the money to be able to get the sex change that they wanted. And the way it went,
was
just, that the book was off the chain, and people just love it. They want more, and I left room for it. I always try to leave room at the end of my books where, just in case I can come back and write a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing was, you know, that storyline was so people just interested, even though people will tell you up in public, I'm not reading about that, you know, but then the sex scenes in there, and I'm not gay, but the sex scenes that was in there had to be in that genre. I challenged myself to write those kind of scenes because I wanted to see if I could do it. That's the reason why I keep saying those things. Just like the female-female scenes that I write. I'm not a female, so how am I going to write about a female's feelings with a female? But you have to challenge yourself in writing when you do those different things. And that's all I was trying to say when I was talking about trying to make yourself as strong as you can in your craft and doing things that you're not
100% used to.
Because,
so,
you know, like
I said, I agree
100%. Stephen King haven't killed – I don't think Stephen King killed anybody. He looked like he has. But he has written so many books about crazy shit.
I love
that,
Stephen King.
You know, you
I
think he's done all
books.
Of these? But that's what I'm saying. He has you convinced. When you read his book, you know it's going to be some crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I was trying to say when I was, you know, talking about different genres of trying to do other things. Because you want your people to see you. Even if you write in another name, you can have an audience in that name, and you can have an audience in the other name. Where they, and they still can know you, both people, because J.D. Robb does the same thing all the time. If you ever heard of J.D. Robb, she's also Nora Roberts. She writes in two genres, and she's got fans all over the place on both sides.
Mm.
So you got to make yourself relevant in this game is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
If this is something you really like doing, I know you was challenged to write the sex books. Adrian came out because she wrote this because of what happened, her experiences. But you can take this. You've written a book. You have done something that a lot of people wish they could do.
I said that
now,
all the time. Yeah.
You can now take this newfound craft that you have and go forward and do a lot of things because you can create worlds with this. Let me get off my soapbox. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you, and the lady that came on, she said this is her first book that's coming out. You know, if you like writing, write because you love writing. Don't write because of your fans. Listen to what they're telling you, but still write because you love it and you're giving them what they want, but don't give them so much what they want that they're dictating to you how to write the book. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah. Yep.
Did you want to give them twists and turns, shit that they ain't expecting to happen? And like, what? Slap them in the face. I didn't know that was going to happen. You know, that's what I do. I try to do all the time. Make you think you're going one way, and then something else that you totally didn't think was going to happen happens, and you're like, what? That's good writing. And I think the coldest winter ever, what was good about the coldest winter ever to you? Each one of you, tell me what you
good about it is the real
That's
question.
What I'm saying. What was good to you that made you love that book?
I think any book that I read, I imagine stuff that I can't do. So to me, that's what makes it so exciting. It's a storyline that you know that you never lived. So imagine that and even her father, like this powerful guy, and on the and he's like kingpin on the project. So I always imagine him. It may sound cliche or cheesy, like damn, it was just my father. He just like he brought presence wherever he was at. So it made you want to be in those projects, even though they was the end of projects and was like hood rich, whatever. But it made you want to be there. So it is that suit me in, and I mean the first chapter suit me in. And this is good.
Yeah. Anybody else?
I agree with what Stacey just said. It's just the fact of their lifestyle is so different
Akita.
From yours.
Is she still here?
Yeah, I think everybody's still here, yeah.
Okay.
I'm still here.
Okay.
Yeah, so what did you – I mean, so everybody said what they thought as far as what they got from the book. Have you thought about you would want your book to get that kind of a review? Just like, okay, let's use another example before you answer that. The woman who wrote this, 50 Shades of Grey, all right? Let's talk about that for a second.
Okay.
Got a movie coming
when she wrote that book, when she wrote that series of books, she wasn't even writing to publish. She was writing because it was something that she was just feeling, and she wanted to have this little story, and her little friends were reading a blog, kind of like Zane, what she did. Started out as a blog, and then she compiled all that stuff and made it into a book. That's what Addicted was her first book, but before that, she had all these other short story books because they were blogs of what people were telling her on her blog. They were talking to her, asking her questions, and she was giving them answers back, and she used their shit to make books. Then she wrote Addicted. Now it's a movie. But let's get back on 50 Shades of Grey. Okay, she wrote that book, and now it's a movie. And she had no intentions of really... Have any of y'all read those books?
I haven't read them.
They were... And I'm not jogging her because or anything. She's got over 8,000 reviews on that book. Because white people love it. But because it's more of a love story than anything. But the book wasn't really written that well. But because
I heard that.
Of,
everyone said that.
Right. The way the because of the craze of her coming from England and all of that and then putting this out like she did, they went crazy over this Grey guy and everything. So now they got a movie coming out. You know, we can do the same thing, but we have to make sure that we write like when I write, I'm only talking about myself, I'm not talking about you guys. You do what you want. When I write my books, I always write to readers. I'm not writing just to the African-American community. I'm not writing just to people that only know what I know. I want people, readers, to read my books. So with that being said, you know, that's where I'm at now, but I had to grow to that. When I first started writing, I thought, yeah, I just want the blacks to write. But, you know, we don't support ourselves as well as we could. So I want readers who want to read, and that's why I don't have all black characters in my books, because I want people to be able to read. And like you said, you want them to see themselves in a book. It might be that Asian woman that's in the book that somebody see themselves in there, or something that pulls them to make somebody else want to read or tell somebody to read the book. So,
I agree. Cause my
those are just some things I'm looking at.
Yes, my book is coming out free Friday. It's more, it's black and white. So I want to relate to that black, and it's like a white woman in Walmart. That should also read my book as well. It's all about just straight urban. So I agree with you on that part.
Yeah. But what I want you to understand, too, now, I'm not dogging urban in no way, form, or fashion. I'm not saying that urban is not going to do, because urban is big right now. Everybody's dropping. Like Leo Sullivan and all these people are dropping books like it's a new drug deal. Instead of using drugs, they're using books now. They've changed the product. You know, a lot of people who were hustlers and other substances, now they're hustlers in the book game. And they found that they were good at writing because they have the experience. They can write some of the stuff. So now they'll write a couple, then they'll get some other people to write under them, and then they, you know, it becomes an empire.
Mm-hmm.
So that's because you have a demand out there. There are people that are reading. So urban is there. It's not going to go anywhere. So it's nothing wrong with it. I want people to understand as listening that I'm not dogging that genre. It's to each his own, like Andrea said, that, you know, if people don't want to read it, then they pick up something else. But you want to be able to give them choices. to read, and that's what we're doing. So, so your book is dropping Friday. Is it going to be in everywhere books are sold, or what?
Well, as of right now, just Amazon as right now. But
okay.
It's a, I'm praying with faith that it will get bigger than that.
Well, it can, but you probably gonna have to do it. Did you publish through a company, or are you doing it yourself?
Well, I'm with different publications, so hopefully
okay.
with their work, we can get it out there.
Right. Okay. Well, it's up to them to make consignment deals to get the books in this Walmart. You can do that yourself as well. But like I said, when you do that, you got to be able to have find out if they'll take book print on demand, or I don't know if this publishing company, Black Dynasty Publications, are book on demand, or do they have bulk books or whatever. But if they have the ability to have bulk issue books in a warehouse somewhere, then they can have the ability to get you a consignment deal where your books are in Walmart, or if you can get them on the Army bases and Air Force bases and stuff like that through APs overseas and all that. So, yeah, it can be done. But
yeah.
I wish all of y'all well on that. So back to Adrian again. So are you still okay, or are you tired, or are you tired of being interviewed? Or
I'm still here. I'm just giving everybody else opportunity to talk.
Well, see, I'm going to go out of this time.
No.
I want to listen.
Okay. Well, you want me to turn your mic off?
No, it doesn't. No.
Go ahead and talk.
We want you to talk.
Everybody,
what was that?
Everybody is listening to us all, so
that's right.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah, and you all can come back on again separately if you want to, you know, and do another interview if you want. I have plenty of space and time, so that's not a problem. But the thing is I just want you all to be able to, if you have questions yourself, and anybody that's listening, if you have any questions, the number is 917-889-8206. Chat room, if you have questions, please type your question, and I will ask it to the authors that are here. We want you to be able to get your full attention, and we're going to give you a chance to tell people how they can get your books if they want to get you to do a book signer or something like that as well. So,
okay.
But we got like 37 minutes, so you guys can hang for 37 minutes. All right, so everybody has told why they like writing, right? Basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody is told that they want to have a career in writing. Do you see yourselves in the next 5 years as just only doing this and not working anywhere else? Anybody can answer.
I currently work full time.
Me
okay.
too.
But is this a career that you aspire that you would like to only do?
Yeah,
no.
I mean, go ahead.
I don't want to just work in a factory. No.
Yeah.
I
want to be like my frat brother, Eric Jerome Dickey. Yeah, I want to be like my frat brother, Eric Jerome Dickey, who is, all he does when he writes a book, he goes, his publishing company sends him to the Bahamas for 45 days to write a book.
Must be nice.
He goes down there and be on the island, and he writes his books, and he has to have it done. By the time he comes back, they get it edited, and then they put it out. And he's always on the New York Times bestseller list. So it must be working.
But I mean, if you have like no distractions and no, like, I'm full time mother, wife, and I work, so it's just a lot. But you also have to. I do try to take time out to do my or try to write. So if you can take 45 days and just realize, oh yeah, you come out with the bomb book. You'd be
of
like,
course.
You should be chilling, you know.
Or you go down there and fuck it up and fuck up 45 days and don't have your shit done like it's supposed to be done. And then you're looking silly. Oh, no. But anyway. But I know some other authors that are full-time mothers and all that, too, but they do spend a lot of time on the road, and you got to have a husband or someone that's going to be very, very, very supportive of you while you're out there.
Agreeable.
You know. So one of the questions that's coming from the chat room I definitely have to ask is, how would you measure your ultimate success as a writer? And also, what point do you view yourself as successful? Anybody want to answer?
I'll answer it.
Okay.
This is Stacy. I think I'm an awesome writer. There's a lot for me to learn, but I'm awesome.
You're, We can't hear you, Stacey.
You can't hear me? Can you hear me?
Well, you were floating away and shit. I don't know where you were going,
okay.
But anyway.
How about now?
No.
No?
We need you to speak up.
How about now?
That's
okay,
a little bit better.
That's a little better.
Are you in a closet or something? You can't talk or something?
Now I'm on a back road. Is this better?
Can y'all hear her? Because I can barely hear her.
I can hear it a little bit. I can hear
her.
You guys still can't hear me?
We can hear you better now. Go ahead. Answer the question.
Can you hear me better now? I'm on a back road. I'm in the bushes. Red Sniper. What was that? Sniper. What was the two questions again?
Okay. The questions was, how would you measure yourself, your ultimate success as a writer, and at what point do you view yourself as successful?
I think I was successful when I completed my first book. That's just me. I started something and I finished it. I'm proud of myself, and I view myself as an awesome writer. And I know there's still a lot to learn, so I'll just get better and better.
Well, that's good, and I agree with you wholeheartedly that you are successful because of the first book. Like I said earlier in the show, there's a lot of people that say, I want to write a book and never do it.
And never done it. That's right.
Never do it.
That's
whether it's a good book or garbage, you've written the book. And that's a great accomplishment in itself. Now, and your second question, the second answer was, at what point do you view yourself as successful? Do you feel that you're successful now?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else want to tackle the questions?
I mean, I agree with what she said in the beginning of it, because like you stated before, some people, even just getting it published alone, can't even say that, you know. So that part of it, I do say that I'm successful, but I feel I'm successful regardless. But I feel that when I can quit my job, I mean, this a full time for me and my family, that's when I know I'm there. Like, I'm here. Like, on color purposes, I'm here, I'm free. That's how I will feel. Like, I just do this for my family. It's full time.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
I agree. I think that pretty much said it all. There's no other way for me to put it other than rewording what they said, basically. But for success for me, I think just the fact that I have so many people that are proud of me and have supported me and, you know, like they're proud, it kind of makes me feel like a success. Even if I didn't sell the biggest number of books, I just feel like successful within myself, within my heart, you know, that I actually got it out. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I just read something out of your book. I'm sorry. I was tripping.
Oh, my God.
I like this part right quick. Well, let me let the ladies all answer the question first, then I'm going to read this part. Okay, go ahead. Anybody else want to answer the questions?
I think
everybody did. Okay. Well,
yeah.
I don't know. I flipped to page 155, and I like this part. I guess this is the guy. He said, I flipped her over and gave her my best action. Kelsey loved it in her ass. I played in her pussy while I felt myself nut. This girl has some grade-A pussy. Now, this is a guy's, because you wrote most of this from his point of view, right? So how did you see that right there? You're writing this, and
oh,
you're not
God.
A guy. So how did you get the research to know that? Or you just went by what your brother told you, or you heard him say some shit to you like that?
First, let me just clear up a couple of things. I am a female, but
for a lot
of purposes, like my friends or family would be like, I think you're a female trapped inside of a dude. But it was easy for me
to write
that.
You're a female trapped inside of a dude.
Or no, a male trapped inside. Y'all know what I mean. Come on, it's like.
Okay, all right, okay. I'm just trying to make sure you're not
a male trapped inside
of
the. Like, I think more masculinely than I do in a feminine type of way, I guess. I don't know. You really have to. Like, my family would have had to call in. They can explain it better. But it was easy for me because, like, my best friend is a guy. Most of my cousins that I talk to on a regular basis are guys. And when you talk to them, They can be having a serious conversation with you, and then as soon as a chick walk by, dang, look at the ass on that one. I like to bend her over. Hold on, what was he talking about?
Right,
it's like
exactly.
Regular conversation. It don't matter what.
But don't women
we're
do shit like
about.
That too? Women don't do that.
It could be like, you know, we going to the store and take this left turn. Damn, did you see that bitch over there?
Right.
And why she having shorts on? Like, really? I mean,
yeah.
That's the type of stuff they talk about on a regular basis, just every day. And I just sit there and listen to them, and I'm like, okay, so this is really what y'all talk about. Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
It's just like second.
Damn,
nature.
Girl, it says, like on here, damn, girl, I needed that. I smacked on her ass. Glad I could help, she laughed. These women actually say shit like that. Anyway. Kelsey's crazy. Okay. Yeah, that was funny. But that's cool, though. I mean, you know, like I said, it's you have to make people, and everybody has their own writing style. That's what's good about it. You have to make people convince. You have to convince people with your writing style that this is really happening. And you can do it. That's what you concentrate on when you write and you make that happen. So that's just it. So now, Miss Veronica, let's get back to you. Do you have anything that you have written that's right in front of you that you can read from your book?
Actually, I'm driving down the road.
See, look at that. She's driving down the road.
Yeah.
Because she
yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
want to read. Okay.
She's multitasking.
Oh no!
She did
I
say she
stuck.
Was. She had to stop for a minute. You did.
She
you did. I,
you're
talking
bushes
to.
A few minutes ago.
Oh, no.
Right. She was. That's why we couldn't hear her. She
I would have loved
goddamn
to. No, I would have loved to be able to read something from my book.
Well, this is what you have to do. You have to inbox me so that we can schedule you to be interviewed on the show. And all
okay.
the ladies that's here can come back whenever you like, and you can
okay.
come back on and do that. That's not a problem.
Thank you for
you know,
the
have a lot of,
I appreciate
I have a
that.
Lot of segments open. I have a lot of segments open in September. I got the 16th, 23rd, the 30th. October is open. You know, there's time. You just have to let me know, and we can work it. Because
okay,
we want
well,
you
I
to get exposure.
Sure inbox, then.
Yeah, we'll be, you know, make sure you friend me and all that, and we'll get you straight. But anyway, you know, I've had a good time. Usually, like I said, I have co-hosts that's usually here. But for some reason, both of them did not come tonight. We have a lady named Miss Cotton who is a poetry, softly spoken poet. She is very good. And usually when we're on here, she brings a subject. Because we usually have a subject matter that we talk about, like, you know, like why do men cheat or something like that or some shit we talk about for the second hour. But you guys were so
oh,
interesting
and
intriguing. Well, you can come back and we'll bring you in and we can talk about that. You know, like you know, questions, you know, stuff like that we usually do. And we have D.V. Hint, who is another author, and he has several books out as well. That's a co-host here, but he couldn't make it this evening as well. So you had me all to yourself.
Okay.
But the thing is you know, Word Sexy Radio is usually more laughing and more graphic. But tonight was more educational, and I thank you girls for that because, you know, a lot of times people listen to the show and they want to know how they can get their books published and they want to know what experiences of things that authors have went through who are trying to publish or even mainstream authors come on here as well and they'll tell their experiences how they got into the mainstream and how hard it is to stay because a lot of times like it's harder being published through them because when you do get published, like I said, if you're not selling, they'll drop you. Just like it's just like the music industry. If you're not making any music, any selling enough units, you're going to get dropped.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how good you was last year,
yeah.
two years ago. You could be having the coldest winter ever last year, was selling, got a movie deal. And this year you write another book, and that shit ain't doing nothing. It gets dropped.
Yeah.
But the good thing about that is you're so big from last year, you should be able to have your own publisher come anyway now. So that you have your own rights and do what you want to
preach.
Do. So, you know, that's just, that's just the thing. You know, so... But, you know, a lot of women, you can ask that question, and mostly every woman that I've asked has read that book.
Yeah, everyone's read. I mean, that's like a...
I just love that book. I don't know too many
like
people
an
haven't
like
read
an
that book.
Yeah, I wonder, is there anybody out there who has not? Anybody in the chat room has not read The Coldest Winter Ever?
Book.
Or anybody who's listening has not read The Coldest Winter Ever, call in right now and let us know. so we can talk about you.
Yeah,
no, I mean,
we need to find out why
yeah,
you have not read
yeah.
this book.
Yes. So, you know.
I ain't not read that one.
Yeah, but writing, and the chat room is there, they're asking questions like, you know, the literary game, it is vicious.
Very.
It is. They're asking, you know, do you think publishing companies are more valuable because of all the services they offer, like the editing, printing, et cetera, because of distribution? Well, I'm going to start, and I'm going to get you ladies kind of input on that as well. I assume you're talking about publishing companies that are not mainstream. At one time when you didn't have the ability to get into publishing like you can now, when there wasn't the internet and all that, and you had to go through mainstream, yeah, they had the power. They had the, just like music industry. Now you can do indie music and all that. You don't need these companies anymore. They know that. So now you got all these other companies that's coming out now. They're doing covers for you. People are doing them. They're doing just the editing, you know, stuff like that, because they know that those companies that used to sign you those deals will include all that in that, and then, you know, you have to give them so much. And it's just like the music industry. They give you some royalties in the beginning sometimes, but, you know, with music, of course, like the videos and all that stuff that you see, that comes out of their salary. And a lot of times people don't know that shit, and then when they get what's left, if they get anything left, that's what they get.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with the music, I mean, with the literary, it's a little different, because a lot of times they might sign you and give you 12, they might give you, okay, we're going to sign you to a 3-book deal and we're going to give you $50,000. I'm just using example, just words. But your book's got to sell past the 50,000. If they don't sell past the 50,000, you get no more money. Because you got to make it up those royalties that you have already, that they have already given you. See, a lot of people don't know that when they sign these deals. That's why you might sign with, I ain't going to say her name, but there's some urban fiction companies out there. I'm sure y'all know if I said the name, y'all would be going crazy. I'm not going to say the names. But they'll sign you. They might give you $5,000, and then your book might make more than that, and you ain't getting no more money. You're like, well, what the fuck is the rest of my money at? Well, we gave you $5,000. Your book ain't doing nothing. But you know it's selling. You see it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just it's a game. But anyway, the chat room is now saying, Coldest Winter Ever was the first urban fiction I ever read. Honestly, I turned my nose up at it before I read the book. Okay, I wonder why they did that. And then they read the book and found out it was a book. So, sometimes the judging a book by its cover is not good then. That's why it's important to have a good cover and a good synopsis on your book, because people will go by that.
It draws people in.
Yeah.
And if it's not drawn, and believe it or not, these reviews, oh, I can go off on these reviews. We only got like 20 minutes. But I can go off on people that write these reviews. I wish that people that write reviews were educated in some kind of way to be able to be a critic to do that. Because you got all these people that are writing these books, are doing these reviews, and ain't wrote shit.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
They're dogging you, your book, and saying it's fucked up and this and that. Okay, yeah, we need to know these things so we can get better. But a lot of times they're criticizing your book. They might be with a big company of editors or readers, I mean people that do reviews, and then everybody's going to read that stuff, and they're going to just determine your book by what somebody else said. What do you feel about that? How do y'all feel about that?
Well, I think that's
like
also
it.
I'm sorry, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I mean, I don't personally like it, but I have to realize that, you know, everybody has their own opinion, but I think certain things, like, if you just sit there and dog a person's book out, I mean, come on now, you know, other people are going to read it, and they're just going, oh, well, it must be really awful, and then you'll see another review that's great, so then they're thinking, okay, well, this person really liked it, this person didn't like it, well, what's really going on? Like, you don't have to be just cutthroat, like, oh, I wouldn't, my 5-year-old could write this, or, you know, like, some of the stuff people write is just not really necessary.
Right.
I just wouldn't be that, I mean, if it was that bad, I wouldn't have even left the review, probably, just because, you know, people have feelings. I know you ought to be able to write what you want to write, but, I mean, come on now. If you sit there and put something like, oh, a 5-year-old could do it, that's just,
Well, somebody in the chat room, they wrote their opinion was about the coldest winter ever. They said that they're bougie. Okay. That's the reason why they didn't want to read it. But anyway, they said the only reason why they read the book is because somebody recommended it to them. Then they had a preconceived notion about urban fiction. But now they know better because now they know that urban fiction has a voice as well. See, a lot of times people will put out shit about something, just like they did rap when it first came out. They want to say, oh, that's urban, oh, that's all, it ain't going to go nowhere. Here rap is, what, 30, 40 years later? Still going, even though it's different, it ain't the same as what I know rap would be. This shit that's out here now, I don't know what. But anyway, it's still considered, I don't know what they call it. Is it hip-hop now? Is it rap? What is it now? Anyway, it started out, when rap first started, and I know y'all know this history already. I don't know why I'm telling you this. But when it first started, it was about the DJ. It was nothing about the guy, the front man that was doing the hype man. The person that was doing the rap stuff was a hype man. He was trying to hype the people to keep dancing. I don't know when it changed from being a DJ to the damn hype man being the most important part of it, becoming the rapper. That shit just
that would
changed
be the
up.
90s.
That
would
yeah.
be East Coast, West Coast, Tupac,
right.
Biggie.
There you go.
Yeah.
When all that changed it up, it just messed everything. It made everything different. It was supposed to be about the DJ. Now, I don't know what it's about. But anyway, let's get off that. Anyway. I tell you. The shit that's out there now. But, yeah, people criticize our books. I've got bad reviews. You got good ones. I want the reviews, though. I don't care if they're bad or good. Because that helps me to make myself dig into my craft and look at myself and try to fix it.
Yeah,
we want good reviews, but I hate when people read your book and don't give you no review.
Well,
yes.
Can I tell you something?
That right
when
there
I...
is worse than anything. Excuse me? I'm sorry.
No, I just wanted to say something about reviews also.
Okay, go ahead.
I've got two things. First of all, I love reviews because if they're really good and from an intellectual person that actually knows about writing, it's going to help me get better, right?
Right.
I've got two reviews that I really didn't appreciate because it didn't make sense to me. Number one, the title of my book says, Sins of the Flesh, Erotic Short Story. You give me a review that you opened the book and the stories were too short? What the hell did the cover say?
Some people just get on there and that's what I'm talking about.
And then I get this bad review from this lady that says she did not like the story. She didn't really list why. And I sent her a nice reply back thanking her for reading the book. And she fucking says she was hormonal that day. So it's my fault. So it's my fault. Damn. I'm talking about you want to get off and you have a confused feeling.
Well, see, now you know how I feel about the review I got about the woman who read. I don't know if you was on here earlier when I said the woman was reading my book and she kept talking about there was no safe sex and none of that, but then she wanted to read the second book to see if it was some safe sex, and then it wasn't nothing there, and then she went to the third book. She was in her feelings, or whatever the fuck she was in, and she actually gave me 3 stars for each one of the books saying it was fucked up. You know, well, 3 stars is not fucked up, but it's not a 5-star review, okay? So, you know, but she read all the damn books, though, before she figured out, you know, I don't know, it's crazy. You got 42 damn reviews on your book. Stacy, you got 42 damn reviews on your books, and you're almost a 5-star, 42. That's awesome.
That's, I guess, for a new author. Some people like that old-fashioned shit.
I ain't got 42 damn reviews on one of my books.
You don't? Well, that doesn't, but I bet your books are selling, huh?
They selling, but hell, I mean, I ain't rich. I ain't, that ain't the only thing I'm doing. I got a full-time job, too.
Well, Red Snapper, see, I'm having this problem, but I'm not going to give up. I need to find those
I'm not giving up either.
Want my job. I need to find those people that want my genre. You know, I'm,
Well, you have to do like I'm doing. You have to come up with page that they can go to and read your shit.
Oh,
and
I do.
Put, You just have to promote it.
But
there are so many people out there. Go to my page. I have groups that I belong to that if you went to some of these groups, that's all they talk about is fucking and shit and sex and all that and want to read this kind of stuff. So you just have to go to where they're at.
Yeah.
And we got like 14 minutes, but I want to give each one of you a chance to go ahead and tell people how they can get your books and if they want to get you for a book signing, how they can get in contact with you. We're going to start with Adrienne first since she was the main person who was being interviewed. And then we'll go over to Stacey and then everybody else from there.
Well, my book is Reckless Intentions. It's available on Amazon, and it's also available on paperback. If you want to get your copy on paperback, you can email me at Mrs. MRS Mighty, MIGHTY79@yahoo.com. Send me your email address and address, and I will send you a copy with it signed. And we can discuss pricing and all that when you email me.
Okay, so your book is also available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all that, right?
Amazon, I know. Barnes & Noble, I don't really want to say yay or nay because I don't want to, you know, put all
right.
that out there. But I know okay. our publishing company is making our books more available, like Stacey has said earlier. But I don't want to say, like, specific spots just yet. Well, I'm not really for sure, but definitely on Amazon, you can find my book.
Okay, Stacey.
Can I say my book real quick and read you that little brief promo I got?
Go ahead.
Okay, my book is Sins of the Flesh. It's on Amazon and Kobo also. And I just read you this real quick. It's about a man on the phone with his partner. His partner's wife isn't giving him much, and this man's trying to tell him to go ahead and hit the devil's daughter that's standing in front of him, right? The man in the office says he dropped the phone and almost pissed on himself. Standing there hard as a rock and sweat pouring out of his forehead. He said, "Oh, damn." His wife walked in and asked him who was he speaking to. He said, "Oh, damn, nobody special, honey." The nerd from the office was asking for the same damn advice I'd given him earlier. "Okay, sweetheart, look at you. You're sweating. Don't let anyone get you upset like that." Then she glanced down at a zipper and could see he was hard. "So the conversation got you hard?" she laughed. "Oh, hell no. Right before he called, I was thinking of inviting you upstairs, and then his dumbass interrupted my thoughts. Anyways, want to meet me upstairs?" "Sure thing," she said, while reaching out to run her hand across his hard dick. "Sure thing, give me 5 minutes. "Cool, I'll meet you there." With that said, after she left the room, he picked up the phone and he could hear Aldwin moaning because he had just started to nut. Candy heard him groan into the phone. Damn. Aldwin hung up the phone. He was jealous that it wasn't him and mad that she got him hard just from listening to her give someone else head. As he walked out of the room, he mumbled, "Damn shame, it can't be me." He marched upstairs hard as hell and hoped his wife was ready for the beat his dick was about to give her. Now, right there in the floor room, Aldwin gave it to Candy. He had no choice. His flesh was tempted and he was weak. His legs were stiff and his heart was racing. She poured harder with each pour. The vacuum seal that her mouth had on him was forcefully up and down his shaft. He started to moan, and just as he was about to nut, he tried to push her off. "No," she said, and he didn't have the strength to move her. Her mouth took in every bit of nut that spewed out, and he felt like he was 20 years old again.
All right. Well, that's some shit there. She went to Hopewell High School, y'all. Yeah, she know what I'm talking about. Anyway, okay. Okay.
Thank you.
That's all right. I like this. I'm going to have to keep up with you. That's good. But that's the erotica. That's erotica. That's what people are looking for. There's people out there that want that.
That's
you just
got to
find them. And they're there. They're there. You know, there are people that's what they want. And your style is great. I like your style. Now, let's get it. We got 10 minutes. There's two more people, right?
Well, my name is Nikita Williams. My book will be out August the 1st. As of right now, I know Amazon.com. I have a Facebook page.
What's the name of your book?
Have You Ever.
Have You Ever. See? Okay.
Have You Ever. It's about, I don't tell you the whole book. Just, we'll get August the 1st, but it's about love and about women as we go through shit for love and realize how, why the hell we do it. So as my grandma always said, a woman will be a fool for a man at least one time in their lifetime. So read the book. It's a good page turner. And I'm on Facebook under facebook.com/Nikita Williams. Have you ever?
Okay. If y'all not friends with me on Facebook, please send me an invite and we'll be friends. Like I said, if you want to come back on the show, you definitely can come back. I have segments available. And we thank you all for coming on. Definitely thank you for coming on. And we got about 9 minutes. I don't want to let you go yet. But I thank you, especially Andrea, for coming here being tired and coming on the show. I appreciate you, even though you reached out to me and said you wanted to come on the show, which that's what I expect. I want people to do that because I want you to, you know, want to put your stuff out. And I don't put questions out because I want you to talk from your heart, from your soul. Like a lot of people that do when you go to these shows and you do interviews, they want to send you pre-questions and you have pre-answers and all this shit. I don't do that. So I want you to shoot from the hip. I want you to bring it from within. And when we do talk, if you call back in next week, we're going to be here again and with other authors, and they're going to be, here, and we're going to be talking subject matter. Matter of fact, both of these authors that's coming next week, I like to spice it up a little bit. These are two white female authors that are coming on next week, and I want to see what their version of erotica is and shit. So they want to come
awesome.
On and say they're going to have me hot and the motherfucker and all this. I'm like, okay, right. So we're going to see.
It's y'all, awesome.
Y'all can call in. You can speak if you call in, whatever. I don't care. We're going to fuck with them and see what they got. Anita Cox is her name. Is one of them. And I forget the other woman's name. Hollywood some shit. But anyway, we're going to have them all here, and we're going to talk to them, and we're going to see what they got because, you know, white people's erotica is off the chain. Don't get me wrong. Ours is too. But theirs is a little different.
But
they do some freaky ass shit. I mean, niggas do too. But they got some freaky shit, huh?
And they got that. I like it because I like white authors. They put that magic in it. They got that magic.
They do. They do. They really do. So I want y'all to please, if you can, tune in next week, and we will definitely have them on the show. And I'm gonna talk to them. They asked to come on, and I want them to come on. And we want them to be able to talk about their erotica. And I love it because, like you said, they bring in other shit. I love it. They bring in shit that don't have to be there, but it makes the story interesting, you know. And they do some wild-ass shit. Like, I was upside down, and he stuck his dick in my ass, and you know, it's all this crazy shit, you know what I'm saying? It's like porn. They ask, is it anything like porn? Yes, it's like porn. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And all our stuff is borderline porn. It's just what makes ours not porn is when you got a storyline that goes with it. And porn, of course, is just fucking.
Exactly.
So I thank you all for coming on. I'm going to go ahead and cut it from here. But, you know, you guys, please get with me and let me know so that we can get you scheduled to be on the show and, you know,
will
give you time to be here. So that's what it's all about. So
thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Hello?
Oh, how I wish for a better place for you and me. Oh, how I wish that someday we'll live in harmony. Oh, how I pray for no more stress and no more pain. What if I could make this happen?
What if I had the power to set all men free? What if I had the manna to feed the hungry? What if I could stop the violence and bring unity? Who would I be? What if I could judge the master for his slave? What if I could make the masses respect my sovereignty? What if I could steal the world love and equality? Who would I be?
to make her street safe for children to play. What if I had only one choice? What change would I make? What if I told you my sacrifice was the only way? Who would I be?
Yeah, I'd be someone who really cared about
what life would mean without negativity. Not living long enough to see their dreams.
Really,
yeah, God bring